Welcome, everybody, to a new Capes and Scouts podcast. I am Tim, and with me...
Cliff.
Hi, Cliff.
Hi, Tim.
So, this, as you may have noticed, showed up in your downloads. It is Scowl's Top 4. And essentially what Scowl's Top 4 is our Mount Rushmore. This is where we pick who goes on our Mount Rushmore of a specific topic. It'll be comics, it could be wrestling, could be movies, could be complete nonsense. We're just going to use it as a generic kind of ranking system. And Cliff and I are going to go back and forth. Cliff, are you prepared?
For the I am.
And all the hatred that we will get for picking what we pick.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, preface this with, these are our top four. Not saying that these are the best there are. These are just the ones we like the most.
That's right. And today's topic... Today's Mount Rushmore, today's Scowl's Top 4 is Cliff and I have picked our favorite, our top four, but we won't put them in an order because that'll break our brains, our top four DC Comics graphic novels.
I feel like for myself, like, so, you know, you've been reading comics much longer than I have. I kind of got into reading comics with the trades.
Right.
So, like, because finding issues of some, you know, stories is difficult.
Or expensive.
Right. So, I started reading trades. So, that's where most of my comic book reading has gone.
Yeah, and I definitely lean more towards trades nowadays. I usually read, like, an issue one or two, and then I wait for the trade. It's just so much easier.
Right, and it takes up a lot less room.
Yeah, and I don't love it as much. I don't get as attached to it, so I'm okay with giving it away one day. I'm not buried in books.
Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah.
You might have enough Moon Knights, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're not going anywhere. Until my collection of Moon Knights looks like my current collection, I won't be happy. When it reaches that point, I'll just throw everything away.
We'll right.
Out back. It'll be great.
It'll be fun.
Absolutely. So, Cliff, why don't you start us off? And, I do want to say that there's certain things we are and are not including in this list. We are not including Vertigo books. So things like Sandman and Preacher and Transmetropolitan, those things will not be on our list, most likely because we'll do that another day. Some of the Black Label stuff would be counted because a lot of the old stuff did become part of this quote-unquote Black Label thing. Yeah, so I think that's really the only rules we invented for this. So Cliff, what is your first Mount Rushmore?
So the first book I will talk about is a Geoff Johns book.
You good.
As you guys know from previous podcasting, I guess I classify as a Geoff Johns fanboy because most of the stuff he's written has been very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with a Flash book, and nice. I picked Flashpoint.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
It was one of the first like Flash books I had started reading. It was just... I liked everything about reading it. Like the whole story is great. I like, you know, the whole alternate universe with, you know, Bruce's dad being Batman and everything. The whole story just throughout it. I like all, you know, I just really enjoy it. That's why it's on my Mount Rushmore. I like everything that Barry has to go through to try and fix everything. Like the different takes on characters are, some of them are like a little polar opposite than they normally are. So it's just like a different change of pace. But it's just like an incredibly, like, what I think is like interesting and like worthwhile story to read.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good one to pick, especially when you're just getting into trying to dive into DC, because you just have to have like a roundabout idea of these characters. You
right.
don't know too much of their lineage and what has been going on. You just got to know Aquaman's the water guy. Got it.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone has like a basic idea of who all the characters are, except for maybe Cyborg. But like you get explained who they all are in this, why things are the way they are. And like if you just want to read a Flash story that covers a lot of like Flash stuff, this is a good place to be.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one. I'm happy it's in your top four. I did not pick it though.
so far we haven't. So you're saying there isn't a duplicate here?
I'm going to guess that there's only one duplicate on our list.
Probably. I think I could have tried harder to duplicate more books,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, it's like, this is a good, like, jumping off point. Like if you want to get into reading Flash.
Nice. Very good.
So, Tim, what is the first one you're picking?
My first one is from the 80s, and it's one of my favorite creative teams, that being Marv Wolfman and George Perez, and I picked Teen Titans Judas Contract. I think this is some of the best storytelling DC ever produced. I think the whole idea of Deathstroke just being such a bastard, going after these kids, they're kids essentially, and just some of the awful things that happen. It has the introduction of Terra, who is a very awesome character, and it has a lot of things happen that you just don't see coming, and it's just super good. On Tapes and Scales, I reviewed the cartoon version of it, and if you have an interest in reading the book, I definitely say do that first. The cartoon is a little different. It updates it to include different characters, but it's going to give away a bunch of the spoilers that you don't want to know going in. I just think the book's fantastic.
I've never read this book, but like you're talking about like Deathstroke the way you are. Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch like the early 2000s Teen Titans cartoon?
Yes, it was great.
So like, is it anything like that?
It is arguably darker.
Okay.
It's way more violent towards teenagers.
Right.
And a lot of emotional mind game as well.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to check that out then, because like, I really enjoyed like that cartoon.
Yeah,
and cartoon, like whenever Deathstroke gets made like to be awesome, it's cool.
Yeah, I would argue this is his big moments, you know?
Okay.
So yeah, if I had to recommend one Teen Titan book, it would be that one.
Well, cool.
Cliff, what do you got? What's your you're not number three. What's your third one here?
Well, this is my second one. Third books overall.
You could do your second one third.
Right, I could. And I could do my third one second.
I could edit all this out, and I bet I don't.
So the next book I picked it's another Geoff Johns book.
You fanboy.
Yep. Different character this time, but he kind of, you know, seems to get all the different characters that he writes, mm-hmm. and seems to, like, I don't know, at least at the time when he's writing these, cares. And I picked Blackest Night, which is a Green Lantern story. It's just like a really cool take on the Lanterns fighting against like something they don't really understand. And it's sort of like, also it's like a Justice League kind of thing, because they're all there. So It's Green Lantern fighting against basically like death rings, and all the different Lanterns need to work together to take out death, basically. And this book has like, so it's got like my single favorite panel of Barry Allen, like just blinking through time a couple of seconds. So he stops being chased by a black ring that's trying to kill him. And it's just like hilarious, because he's just like witty, cracking a joke while trying to run for his life. So like, if you want to see like all the different Lanterns fighting, all the different Green Lanterns, different colors, and like the rest of the Justice League teaming up to take on some like nigh unstoppable foe, this is a really awesome book to jump in on.
That book a lot. That was almost in my list. It was definitely considered, because it's space zombie story, which sounds like it shouldn't work, but it actually works really well.
Yeah.
Well, I also picked a Geoff Johns story. It happens to be next on my list, not that it matters.
Fanboy.
Fanboying over here. But I picked Green Lantern, The Sinestro Corps War.
I almost picked that.
Yeah, it was because they're both fun in different ways, but I really love Sinestro. I love the Yellow Lanterns a lot, and I like how they made good use of some less important characters like the Cyborg Superman, Superboy Prime. I just thought they did a super good job, honestly. And you bring in the Red Lanterns, you bring in all those other Lanterns off of this storyline, which will lead you to Blackest Night. And just it really just has moments of dread, moments of fear. You feel like they actually could lose, and you're like, well, what would that even mean? It's just, well, they do lose in a way. There's no winning in this kind of scenario. And as you can see from the storyline going forward, there's just all these new Lantern groups powered off different emotions, and it all kind of starts here. So Sinestro is what put it over the top for me.
He's a really cool character.
He's great.
I don't know. I feel like I wish there was like more of him in things.
Right. I mean, and he's in Blackest Night as well. He shows up in other books. But yeah, this is just a really strong moment for him.
Yeah, I that definitely almost made my top four.
I like that we have similar stuff, but not the same stuff.
Well, I think that's all going to change with my next one.
Oh, yeah.
So my next one is I've ranted and raved about this book on many a podcast. I have tweeted at this writer numerous times, and it's Mr. Brad Meltzer, his writing Identity Crisis. His time in comics. Well, then we can just do this one together, like bounce back and forth. Sure. And if you want this, like his time in comics is much too short. I could see an argument for picking anything that he wrote being in your top because it's all great.
The Tornado's Path is also so solid.
And his run on Green Arrow.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's just like, for me, like I love like whodunits and murder mysteries in his normal writing. Like he does mysteries and murder mysteries and everything like that. So like that's what he does. Like he's just so good at like weaving intricate details through things, big overarching like storylines throughout. And it's like it's just, I don't know, enthralling to look at and take in.
Yeah, and he's using lesser known characters in this story, and it's all about them. And
right,
like, and he makes you care because your average comic reader doesn't really know, you know, too much about these characters. He makes it like they're the center of your world as you're reading it. It's really heartbreaking, some of the stuff that happens.
Yeah, he just makes so many less like smaller characters so important. And I don't know about you, but like the panel where it's Adam like shrinks down.
Yeah.
Just his world is broken is just like heartbreaking, like when you get there.
It's really strong moment. And like, how do you think of that? It's just, you have to be this intense writer, you know?
Right.
But it is pretty cool because he is known for, like you said, his political intrigue and just like his mystery stories. This book also has a very amazing Deathstroke moment in it as well.
Yeah.
Maybe my favorite, because Deathstroke, so calculating and so smart.
Yeah.
Pretty much taking on the Justice League by himself. So.
Yeah, that like series of pages is just bonkers.
Yeah, it's so good.
Like, I want that on like the TV screen.
Yes.
like, make this book a movie.
Oh man, do it.
But like,
and to get Decoded back on the History Channel.
Yes, and more Decoded. All right, Tim, do you want to give me your last one, or is there more you want to add about the Identity Crisis?
I think we're pretty good on Identity Crisis. I think if you haven't read it, you should. I will go to my number one, and it's kind of a no-brainer for me. This is like one of the most iconic books there is, and it feels like a Vertigo book, but it technically isn't. So it feels a little like a cheat for me to put it in here, but it isn't a Vertigo book. It predates it, but it's very much in that vein. I am, of course, talking about Watchmen, and Watchmen is one of the greatest comic books I've ever read. It is one of the most appealing comic books to people who like novels and mysteries and some old crime noir kind of stuff. It really appeals to a wide range of people, a wider audience. Alan Moore, just sort of crazy at this point. not really in his cave being crazier. But he's done a lot of good stuff. But this is the one that just cannot be touched in my eyes. It's just all around the most solid book.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah, I think it's really good. And I think if it, you know, more and more people need to read it. If you haven't read it or if you've only seen the movie or the show, I am dumbfounded by the amount of people who have watched this new show, but have not read the book, because you kind of need it. It definitely enhances your experience.
Have you watched the show?
I did.
What did you think of it?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good, but there are some awesome things that happen, especially with Ozymandias, that you won't get if you didn't read the book.
Right.
So I just think that's just one of the most untouchable books there is. And it's like, is it a cop-out to pick it? No, because it's the truth. It really is this flag bearer of DC Comics.
Yeah. So, and like the cover on it's just like so iconic. Yeah. Like everyone knows what it is when they see it.
Exactly. And I mean, seeing this book when the movie came out, it was in your Targets, your Walmarts, you know, when you never saw graphic novels anywhere outside your comic book store.
Right.
So it was definitely a huge, huge deal, and it was great for comics. So, Cliff, what do you got at number one?
Well, so the last book that I chose to be in my top four, is probably like, this would be the one that was probably going to cause controversy among people. So yeah. I picked a Batman book.
Ooh.
It's a Jeff Loeb Batman book.
Ooh.
I picked Hush.
Nice.
To be in my top four. It's another murder mystery.
I like those.
So like that had me like intrigued again. And it's another one where like so many characters get brought in and like just a lot of like justice is done for a lot of characters that you don't normally see in books. And it's just basically Batman trying to figure out who is trying to ruin his life. And he's really struggling with it, like to figure it out, which is an interesting take because normally it's just Batman just instantly knows or already has the answers. And it's he doesn't.
Yeah, no, he has a hard time with that whole scenario for sure.
And then it's just cool, like crypto's in the book. Like so many different DC characters show up in this. And it's just like a really interesting take on like somebody trying to ruin Batman's life and like succeeding at it.
Yeah, and the introduction of Hush the character, you got that crazy Jim Lee art. Much of this, I wonder if it would have worked so good without Jim Lee on it, because some of the there's violent moments. Super intense. And like, if it wasn't Jim Lee, would it have stuck out in your mind as much?
Probably not, because like, so for me, so much like that stands out is like the artwork in books. Mm-hmm. Like, if the art is bad, I have a hard time like sticking with a book. So it's just like the whole everything about this book for me is on point.
Yeah, the art is solid. The writing is solid. I like Jeff Loeb. He's definitely had better years before, I think. But, you know, he's still doing good things nowadays. And now he's at Marvel's TV department. I think he's still there. Things change day to day.
Yeah.
But, he was doing some good stuff. He was working on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, yeah, pretty good dude. He did that Red Hulk thing on that divided a lot of his fan base. But in general, I think the guy's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Well
say yeah.
We did it. Hooray.
We did it.
We are completed. So if you like this, maybe we'll do more of them, you know, every once and again. And Scowl's Top 4. Yeah, just if you guys have an idea, let us know. You can hit us up on Twitter. I'm at @Matt_Dog_Tim. And you can email the podcast, cavesandscalespodcast@gmail.com. Cliff, where can they find you?
On the Twitters @HyperHippo. There's no E in hyper. And if you think I'm an idiot for picking some of these books, tell me. And I'll just ignore it. Ignore the fact and accept that you're wrong.
I like it. Well, thank you, everybody, for checking it out.
Yeah, have a good one.